are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, or listen to their interview instantly, you can also download the shows. Go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and just click on the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page. And that is where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Also, very exciting, our shows are available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and on Stitcher.com. Just go there, type in Question Reality in the search box, and that's where you're going to find us. Now, separate website. If you want to go to find out about our future guests, you have to go to the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. That's a really long title. Questionrealityradioshow.com. Okay, so as always, we have another. It's like people say, do you go out and walk the streets and search for these hot, sexy guys to be on your show? And I say, absolutely yes, I do. I got all of my peeps out there scanning the globe for hot, sexy men to be on my show. And that is what's happening again today. We have a very super duper hot, sexy guy. His name is Nick Miles, and he is a singer and a songwriter. And I want you to go to his website. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, but I want you to go to his website right now and check it out. You got to see this little sex bomb for yourself, okay? His address is nickmiles.com, and that's NIKMILES.com. You can also find him on Facebook under Then 1K Miles. And he's also on Twitter at The Nick Miles, and YouTube, The Nick Miles. Oh, also The Nick Miles. So go there now, check him out, look at how sexy it is. Boys and girls, calm yourself down. I'm telling you, because I think he's taken. I don't know. I got the scoop on him. I think he's taken, but we're going to have to find out. All right, so Nick, again, he is an American Swedish pop singer, songwriter, actor, model. And he's a former member of the incredibly talented pop group For You, which was formed by the vocal producer and writer Mary Brown, who has worked with Destiny's Child and Danity Kane. And Nick, who is not only super sexy, gorgeous, but so talented and intelligent, taught himself to play numerous instruments. I think he's got like 5 in total. But he loves the piano the most. So we're going to find out why he loves the piano the most. That's my favorite instrument, piano and violin. He's been creating and performing music all of his life. And some of his performances in the venues include the Palace Theater, the Orpheum Theater, and the Minetta Lane Theater in New York. So we're going to talk about that and find out about his experiences. And then very exciting, around 5:30 or so, we are going to be playing Nick's recently released debut single, entitled Beautiful People. Now, isn't that ironic that he would call that Beautiful People, him being a beautiful person himself? And I'm telling you, I have listened to this song about four times, and honey, it is a pelvic pleaser. Yes, it is. I just love this song. Each time I listen to it, I love it more and more. So I'd recommend that you definitely get a really big cocktail going right now. Get your dancing shoes on, because this song is hot, hot, hot. As the Paris Hilton herself would say, that's hot. Okay. So without further ado, Nick, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Now I know where to come for an ego boost. Thank you so much.
Well, you most certainly give me an ego boost just looking me in the eye, you little hot thing, you. Now, you have, I'm very excited about playing the song at 5:30. And I first want to find out where we, because once they hear it, they're going to say, oh my God, I have to have this song. Where are they going to be able to buy this song?
They can buy it on iTunes or Spotify, actually. It's available right now.
iTunes or where?
Spotify.
Oh, Spotify. Okay, iTunes or Spotify. Okay, so they can hear. Oh, can you buy it? Oh, yeah. You got the download. Okay, fantastic. So they would just type in Beautiful People or Nick Miles, and it's going to come up, and they can download it.
Absolutely, with three remixes as well.
Mm, yeah, I heard those. Those are fantastic. Now, I always like to start with what happened way back in the day, because people sometimes, I think some people are fortunate to be born knowing what they want to do in life, and they just know, and they just hit the ground running. But a lot of us are like, well, maybe I'd want to do this, maybe I want to do that. They don't know, but eventually they find it, and some poor souls, they just stumble through life not knowing what the hell is going on or what they want to do, God bless them. But you, I know that you said you had always wanted to be an entertainer from childhood. So my first question is, as a child or a teenager, did you see yourself leaning more towards being an actor or a singer?
Well, I always saw myself more as a singer. I always loved music. I always loved creating it, singing it, everything. You know, it's funny about pursuing a career in the entertainment business is actually I always say that, you know, I wish I wanted to be a doctor. as if a doctor is an easy career. It's not, but I feel like there's a certain level of, you know, linear, it's like a linear career path, as opposed to being in this business. It's, you know, it's you're hot one second, not the next. So, you know, it's but I love it, so.
Well, you know, that would be, that is the dream, that is the dream of every parent alive, that their child is a doctor or a lawyer. I don't know why. I guess it's that old school mentality of that it's going to be a steady, successful career. But I think you need to strive to be a damn basketball player or some sports figure if you really want to make music, for God's sake. I think that's more consistent than being a doctor or a lawyer these days. It's really hard out there being a doctor or lawyer, especially when Obamacare kicks in. Oh, I'm not even getting started on it. Moving on. Okay, so were your parents supportive of a career in entertainment?
Thankfully, they were very supportive, which helped a lot. You know, I was able to, you know, take lessons as a kid, you know, whether it was, you know, or whether my mom was driving me to auditions or, you know, taking me to play rehearsals or whatever it may have been. Thankfully, I was, you know, I had that. Otherwise, you know, probably would have been even more difficult. But
yeah, it is difficult for some, because some little kids tell their parents they want to be in the entertainment business and they will get hit with a shoe at 150 paces. So you were
absolutely
very lucky. You didn't get beat black and blue for saying that you wanted to be a singer and actor. Oh my Lord. My mother's like, what the heck is wrong with you? Do you know you'll be living off a tuna fish in a rat infested apartment in New York? Are you crazy? What do I tell the neighbors? I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, I'm sure they would have preferred me to have done, you know, to have a passion for something else. But I think that they realize how strongly I feel about it, and I would sacrifice anything to do it. So I don't think that
they've
probably given up hope anyway. Yeah.
So I take it they are not in the entertainment industry.
No, they're not.
Now did I mention this, Mike? I know I said that you were Swedish, but I didn't mention where you were born in Sweden. Now, you're not the typical blonde hair, blue eye Swede that I've fantasized about for 30 years, but you're the as long as you're from Sweden, you're in the hot category for me. So my question is, what was it like being a Swedish musical artist in Sweden? Because I'm going to ask you later about what it's like being a musical artist in America. So what was it like being a Swedish? What happens as a Swedish musical artist? What's going on over there?
Well, I'll address first. So I'm actually half and half. So that's probably where my darker features come from. I'm Italian American and Swedish. So I'm also American.
So I'm fantasy. There's the fantasy.
Did I just ruin it?
Okay. So when you decided you wanted to be a music artist, what did you do? The typical route, start out playing in your bedroom or the garage, or start your little boy band? How did it start for you, your first musical?
Well, for me, it started off just practicing. I was trying to get good at what I was doing. I was doing a lot of musical theater. I was doing a little bit of film work, TV work, things like that. I was just trying to immerse myself in the industry as a whole. I didn't really separate, like, you know, music from, like, film or TV or dance. I just kind of thought of it all as one industry and something that I just wanted to, like, throw myself into. I just tried to do whatever I could, whenever I could, which I think in the long run probably helped me because it kind of made me a little more well-versed. However, I guess what you were saying about being different in Sweden, everything is a little slower paced. Since I've been in New York now for about a year, I love it. And I love that everyone is on the grind. Everyone is, you know, trying to make it, trying to do their thing. It's just, it is a different world in Sweden. It's a lot less people, number one, but it's also a lot more laid back, which can be.
I'm not well versed in the Swedish music culture. I hope I get this right. Is ABBA from Sweden? What is that thing? Woo! I got it right. Okay, I took a wild stab at it because I love ABBA, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I love their music, but I don't know too much, but I thought they were from Sweden. Okay, so that was a long time ago. That was in the 70s, and I'm wondering, I know that they got their start in Sweden, but, I mean, has it picked up any since the 70s as far as do they have record labels? Do they have, I mean, are they,
oh, I mean,
do they really encourage the young people? Do they have a lot of musical arts programs? What's going on musically in Sweden?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Sweden is a huge scene for music, actually. There's so many talented writers, producers, singers, everything. They're coming from Sweden. You know, some of the most famous, you know, like Max Martin, Andreas Carlson, Anders Bagge, all these, you know, all these big writers, they write for, you know, all the, you know, the Britneys, you know, Britney Spears, Celine Dion, they write for everyone. They're huge. And the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, just to, you know, name a few, they write for everyone. So music is, the scene over there is actually very, very big. I just meant that the pace is a little slower just in general. Like New York is just so crazy. Go, go, go all the time. And it's a little more laid back there, which I appreciate, I think, especially after being here for a year. How crazy it is. But I kind of am used to both now at this point. So
now
I enjoy it.
You stated that you were a former member of the boy band For You. And I just got to say, unfortunately, I hadn't heard of them. So I did some research on the internet, and I saw an all-girl band called For You. Is this a different band?
Yeah, it's a different band.
I could not find. I found an all-girl band. I said, "Oh my God, is Nick a transvestite? It's okay if he is, but I got to write some questions in there if he's gone trans on me." And all those girls hot. Oh, so is this a was this band for you that you used to be in? Was it sort of like, as you just said, the Backstreet Boys or New Kids on the Block, or what was going on with that band? And what did you do?
We were up and coming, I would say. A group of really, really talented guys. But we never actually released anything. We ended up parting ways. It was for the best. Everyone's, you know, doing their own solo careers. You know, some have, one guy has gone as production, another guy, you know, they're still singing, they're doing their thing. So I think it was for the best, but we just didn't end up releasing anything. But the work that we did do was really, really great. And the experiences that I had during this, I think we worked together as a band probably for a year and a half. And I mean, the things that I got to do, the people I got to meet, you know, that was invaluable. That was just, you know, priceless.
Well, yeah, because if it was formed by the vocal producer and writer, Mary Brown, who worked with Destiny's Child, I mean, we know what happened with Destiny's Child. I would think that that band would have taken off.
She's incredible. Yeah, definitely.
So you guys just went different ways. You decided you wanted to pursue a different path, each one of you, instead of staying.
Yeah.
Well,
most of us wanted to be solo artists.
Yeah, and then those girls came along and stole your name. Now, if you say that you were in the band for you, they're going to think that you were in an all-girl band. They're like, how did that happen? Okay, so when and why did you decide to move to the United States?
Well, I've actually been back and forth for most of my life. But I decided to move this time to come here because I wanted to really pursue my career in the U.S. And I mean, when I look at it, you know, a lot of people in Europe and in other countries are completely happy with the careers that they have in their respective countries. But many times they try to go to the U.S. to break into that market anyway. So I just thought, like, why not? Why not just go over there and do it?
This is where it's happening.
I feel... Yeah, that's where I'm probably going to end up anyway, so I might as well just do it now.
Now, did you find moving here a difficult cultural transition? I know you said you've been back and forth most of your life, but I'm talking more maybe cultural-wise, business-wise, and personal-wise. What did you find that was difficult?
It's just as far as the business aspect goes, it is a little different. Everything is just on a much grander scale, especially when you're dealing with, like, I'm sure we're going to talk about later, like when we're dealing with, you know, like A&Rs and people in the business, you know, that in the U.S., a lot of these people they're very, like, untouchable, whereas in Sweden, it's, you know, you could probably get, you know, the vice president of Sony on the phone. I mean, maybe it won't be a long conversation, but you could probably get him on the phone, as, you know, in New York or in, you know, the U.S., that's never going to happen, you know. They're not going to use the time of day. You know, you're lucky if you can even get their secretary. Do you know what I mean?
So it's so you mean they actually answer the phone in Sweden? No.
That could be a horrible example. Now I'm going to get, you know, complaints because a bunch of people are going to call the vice president.
No, everybody in Sweden is going to be calling Sony now. Well, Nick Klaus said we could get him on the phone. What happened? Is he not really as friendly over there as he says? Now, what is it like being, so you're a Swedish musical artist. When you tell people that, I mean, does that even enter into the conversation, like when you meet someone for, say, business purposes? And if so, if they find out you're a Swedish musical artist, are you looked at any differently in a pro way or a con way?
I don't think anyone really looks at me differently. I guess it depends on, like, what you identify with. I personally identify with that. Although, like, when I'm in Sweden, they're like, where are you coming from? I'm like, oh, I'm just coming from New York. Then they'll look at me as a New York artist in Sweden. So I guess it just depends on where I am.
Right. Because, I mean, when you think Swedish people, you think sophistication and aristocratic and elite and gorgeous and just professional. And
is that what you think?
Well, that's what I think. I don't know. I could be sadly really delusional, but I just think that I've known a couple of Swedish people, and they were just so elegant and refined. And of course, they were not in the entertainment business, so maybe I'm wrong. But I mean, you know, it's just perceptions. I think that maybe we hold you to a higher standard than the local grunge artist. So now, you know by now the process of pursuing a career in the music industry in America. So what do you find right now in your type of pop music, in the pop music industry? What's the major differences between Sweden and America that you're trying to conquer, like you're trying to break the walls down, break into, that you're having a hard time transitioning into, if any?
Well, I think I wouldn't say that it's any more. I mean, besides that, like I said, it's just on a grander scale. I don't necessarily know if it's more difficult. I think that the music is generally the same, only because, like I said, the U.S. market is so big everywhere else. So a lot of, you know, other countries listen to artists from the U.S., you know, like Beyonce, Britney Spears, all, you know, Justin Timberlake, all the biggest artists. A lot of people are still listening to them. You know, they're on the radio. Everyone's emulating them and trying to be them. So I think that it's not necessarily more difficult, and the genres are kind of the same, except I think maybe dance music is pretty big over in Sweden, which...
Oh, yeah.
I guess
the tech, isn't it more kinda, techno electronica sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, they also have their own... Yeah, exactly. And they also have, like, their own, like, you know, niche markets over there. As they do here in the U.S. as well. They have something called Schlager, which is, like, it's, you know, can't be kind of pop music, but people, it's very popular over there. People love it. It's cool. You know, it's nice to have a bit of variety.
Exactly. Now, I got to ask you, you've been over here for a while, and I know you have sought out your people, and what I mean by the Swedes, because I want to know, on behalf of every woman that's looking for a hot Swedish guy, where are these Swedish people? Where are these hot, sexy Swedes in America? We've been looking for years, and we can't find one. What is the scoop, Nick? Where are they hiding? Is there a Swedish community in New York or L.A. or anywhere here that you can go to for sort of, if you get lonely for your country? I mean, is there a large community?
They don't exist. It's not happening.
I wouldn't want to come here either, because Sweden is such a beautiful country. I've been looking at pictures and as my wall screensavers for years. And I'm like, God, I'd love to live in Sweden. I mean, I know this is true in, I believe, Germany, but I did hear that you will get fined if you throw a cigarette butt or spit, like somebody does that, but they do it in New York all the time, spit on the ground. And is that true, by the way? I mean, I know this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but are they really like that? It's true. That's why it's so nice, right?
I will say that it's much cleaner. Than New York, at least.
Is it cleaner than New York? And I'm from Connecticut, so I can say that. I lived in New York. But yeah, it definitely is. So I would have a hard time with that if I were you.
There's also something nice about New York, you know, being kind of raw and grungy. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, when you're in your 20s, that's all fun. But when you're middle-aged, you're kind of, you don't want the smell of ashtrays and cigarette butts wafting through your window. And that's usually what happens. I mean, but you will get used to sleeping through anything living in New York. I mean, garbage cans, sirens, fire trucks, people, gunshots. You're going to love it. Are you living in New York now?
Yes, I am.
You are? What part of New York are you living in?
What borough? I am living in Queens.
Yay! Woo! Jamaica, Queens. I was there once. Almost got killed. Woo! All right. So now, did you write your new single, Beautiful People? And if so, what is it about? What? Why did you write it?
I did. It was actually, I worked with a production team and a label over in Sweden, MS Studios. It's a group of these three producers and DJs, really, really great guys. We wrote the song together. Basically, the song, it's funny, when we were writing the song, the only, there was like this melody that kept on coming around, and it was the Beautiful People part, and we just kept on like repeating beautiful people, and then that's like what we chose to write the song about, but we didn't want to make it, you know, some kind of like vain song about people right. actually being beautiful. It's more about like that everyone.
Why
it's
not?
More about that everyone is. Because I didn't want that to be the ultimate message. Because I don't right. think that's, I don't believe that. It's more about that everyone's beautiful, and it's about, you know, what's on the inside and that sort of thing. Which I mean, I think it's something that for me, music has always been really therapeutic and has always helped me through a lot of stuff. So I was hoping that, you know, this song or any songs that I do actually speak to people and actually help them. Because I think that's, you know, that's my goal anyway. That's the point. That's the reason why I love doing this.
So this song is about, if you had to say in
like I said, otherwise I'd be a doctor and I'd try to cure cancer or something.
I'd like to see you in a doctor's outfit. Okay, moving on. Moving on. All right. My husband's like giving me the eye. What's going on in there again? She's at it again. Has she been hitting the wall turkey today? All right. What type of responses are you getting from fans and new listeners of the release on this current single?
I've actually gotten a... I shouldn't say actually, like, I'm surprised. I mean, I thought that it was a solid piece of work, and I'm proud of it, and I really love it. But I thought a lot of people have ultimately been positive. I've even had, you know, friends who, you know, are in the business or have been in the business and have said, like, listen, you know, I hear a lot of stuff all the time, and this is actually very good. And I wouldn't tell you that if it wasn't, because I'm your friend, so if it sucked, I would tell you that it sucked. And a lot of them have actually said that, you know, they were listening to the lyrics or they were, and something, you know, struck a chord with them and it helped them feel better or whatnot. So a lot of people have been ultimately positive, which I think is really cool. And that, you know, that was the goal. So.
Wow. I want to feel positive. So you're saying that when we play this, it is exactly like I predicted in the beginning, because I've listened to it 4 times and I love it. I just think it, oh my gosh, it gets me rocking and rolling over here. And I'm really sick today. As we discussed earlier, I got a cold and I feel miserable. But when I listened to this song right before the show started, it actually did perk me up and it made me feel better. And I think that it really will do that for the people that are listening. So let's create some good feelings. Let's get people up on their dancing shoes and rock it out. Let's play the song. What do you think?
Absolutely.
All
Let's
right.
Do this.
This is Beautiful People by Nick Miles. Let's hit it. Woo!
Beautiful people, can't you see that it's you?
Nick, you're there right now. I couldn't hear the song, and I don't know if you could hear the song, but it was playing. So when we listened back, it was playing. This is the first time this has ever happened to me in all the years of the show, so I think there's like some static or something that happened, but I tell you, I know that it sounded great. So when people go to listen to it, I'm sure that they could hear it on the other end, so don't panic or get nervous just because you and I couldn't hear it. It was being played, so...
I already got a few texts saying your song's on the radio.
Oh, you could. Oh, good. Thanks, dear, because I'm going, oh, my goodness. All I heard was something that sounded like an airplane flying overhead. Were you hearing the same thing?
I was hearing the same thing.
Oh, my God. That's the first time it's happened. I don't know what's going on, but that's just the life of being in radio, right? You got to just go with it. Oh, my gosh. Well, I tell you, I am so excited for this song. I love it. I think that everybody is going to be rushing to buy it, so hopefully you'll be able to pay rent for next month after this. Oh, now let's go into giving some career advice to the people that are listening.
Yeah.
So, and I know that you're in your 20s. I mean, you sound pretty young, so you're in your 20s, right? So you're still learning the business. You're going with it.
Absolutely.
Right? So we're not expecting you to give expert advice here, but just based on what your experiences have been so far, what do you feel are at least three characteristic traits that you think a person should have that might guarantee his or her success in the music business? Now, this is just your opinion. There's no right or wrong answer. But if you had to say, because, you know, for example, you can't be a car salesman if you're shy. You can't be more introverted. So what three characteristic traits do you think you definitely need in order to stay the distance in the music business?
I would say determined and resilient, because, I mean, you have to, you know, have your eye on the prize at all times and never give up, because a lot of times it's just about being the last person hanging on. That's why, you know, talent wasn't even the first thing that I mentioned. I would say determined is probably the most important, because, you know, there are...
Nick, you don't need talent. They just fix you up with audio tune these days. Oh, my God. I used to love Boy George, still love Boy George, but I heard him live. I said, what the hell is that going on? I heard him about 10 years ago in a concert. Of course, I'm old school. I'm 80s old school. So 80s is like the best decade on the earth ever for me. And and he sounded so great. And I mean, I would have tears listening to his song. But he was singing, God bless him. There were some tuning issues. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not the only one said it. But they can always be fixed in the studio. But today, the music business, it's become so demanding. No longer are there a ton of labels around, and the record labels nowadays, they basically want an artist to come with them with the CD perfectly digitally mastered. They don't want to be bothered with having to put any money out. You know how they used to fork out the money and front the money to the musical artist to help promote them and build them up? They don't want to do that these days. They want you to do all the work, come to them with a great CD, and then they'll think about possibly taking you on. So, you know, you got to think about that. So audio tune, yeah, but really you should get in tune, right?
Well, exactly. And what I think is, going off of what you were just saying about labels, I mean, I think that that's actually, I hope that it will change, only because I think that what's going to happen is that a lot of people are going to realize that they're not even going to need the labels anymore, because they're so stingy with the money to begin with that, you know, when it's time to invest, they might not even need the investment at that point, or they might, you know, because in that way, you know, the artist can keep most of the money for themselves, meaning that they would do it, you know, independently.
Absolutely. You know,
different ways to do it.
Yeah, there's like iTunes. I mean, you can put your music on CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon. You can do all of this yourself. And even though you might only be doing like a buck, asking for 99 cents or $1.29, you figure with the millions of people in the world, all you need to really do is get out there and rock your social networking. your Facebook, your Twitter, your YouTube. Get the buzz out there, and you can make some bucks until the record labels notice you. And I love that you said that eventually you're not even going to need the labels, because I tell you, they put you under such supervision. I mean, if you come in, you can't be organic anymore sometimes. They just want to change everything.
I hope that that doesn't happen, only because I think that, I mean, I like the dynamic, at least in the past. You know, when I was looking, especially when I was young and I was, you know, like, I wanted to be an artist so badly. I wanted to be a singer, a songwriter. I wanted to just, you know, be like all these artists that I was, you know, emulating. I like that idea that, you know, there was a company or a group of people who believed in you so much, they were willing to, like, put everything on the line for you and be like, we're going to put you up because we think that you're the best thing since sliced bread. So we're just going to invest all this, you know, our time and energy and resources into you. And so I like that idea, you know. So, I mean, I hope that it doesn't end. But, you know, I hope that it, you know.
Well, before, I think for...
talented people get the chance to do stuff.
Yeah, well, there. I think the core labels will stick around, but from what I hear, eventually the goal is to phase the labels out. I mean, there's a group of musical artists which actually are banding together to try to phase. Eventually, they hope they can. I don't know how they're going to do that, but I mean, that's like a union. But they're hoping to phase it out because they feel that once that they are not under the reign of the labels, which are taking away their organic music or taking away their creative adventures in music, that they can just go and sell their own stuff and they'll have more creative control. Because the labels do get in there and really put you under a strict regime for some of the people, and they don't let them, you know, transition. I mean, for example, they want Britney Spears to, if you're a bubblegum artist, a perfect example, I was talking to the guy from, what was that little boy, this was so long ago, the boy band group that sang Mbop. Oh, Lord, what was that group? Hanson.
Oh, they wanted Hanson,
them. Yeah. I mean, they were, yeah, the poor souls, they wanted to, like, keep them singing teeny bopper music way into their 20s and 30s. And, you know, they wanted to transition into something more sophisticated, but the labels wouldn't let them. So that's, like, a perfect example of what people who don't want to be under the label rule want to do. Now, do you recommend that a person get as much formal musical education as possible, or do you think, you know, if you can't afford it, just learn it on your own?
I think that, I would say a mixture of both. If you can afford it, of course. I mean, I think that investing in yourself is probably the most important thing you can do. You know, to this day, I still take, you know, vocal lessons, piano lessons, band class, or anything I can do, I try to do. And I think, you know, like we were discussing before, I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, super successful artists who never stop learning, because I think that once you do, you stop growing. So, you know, I think that it's, You need to do that, but if you can't afford to do it, I think that, you know, teaching yourself is fine. There's so many resources nowadays online.
Exactly. YouTube will teach you how to be any type of musician you want.
Exactly. You can take voice lessons online nowadays. I mean, it's incredible things you can do.
Yeah, there's iTunes. iTunes University or YouTube University. I think it's iTunes University. But yeah, vocal lessons, piano, violin, anything you want, you can learn it online. Now, I want to get in a couple more questions before we have to go. Now, when do you think? Because a lot of artists don't know when they're ready. When do you know, or when do you think that? What advice would you give to a person who doesn't know if he or she should start performing live or in front of people? Because sometimes some artists are a little shy to get out there in front of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all depends on what you're comfortable with. I will say, though, I mean, this doesn't go for everyone because I'm going to get, you know, a bunch of people who are not ready to perform to go out. But I think that sometimes, you know, as someone who's very critical of themselves, you never quite feel ready, and sometimes you just have to go and do it, you know. And you're always going to improve. I mean, it's like anything, you know. Sometimes you have to just do it, and you have to keep on doing it, and as you do it more and more, you'll get better. But you have to start somewhere. Everyone has to start somewhere, you know. So even if it's, you know, playing for a room for five people at, you know, a coffee shop somewhere, that's better than not doing anything. Or if it's just singing for your family, or, you know, whatever the case is, I think it's best that you just, that you do it as opposed to not doing it.
Yes, you need to get out there.
It's, and practice makes perfect.
It's true. Just get out there, and but take caution, because you, when you perform in front of your family and friends, they're all going to say, oh my God, it was the best thing ever. And then you see yourself on American Idol, and then they're going to tell you the reality.
Yeah.
So let's be careful, you know, enjoy people telling you, because, you know, we naturally as people want to soak up all of the kudos we can get. But you got to also be mindful, but not get depressed if someone tells you that it's not, you know, sounding too good. Just say, let me check it out. Let me get some more opinions and then work on it. But always ask people to give you honest opinions. But our family will tell us that we are king of the hill, and then we get, you know, we get dazed and crazed thinking that we're like the whip. Now, what do you, let's flash forward. You've been working as an artist a while. You've been going out doing your gigs. Things are looking up for you. You feel.
Which I'm continuing to do, by the way.
Right.
In New York as well.
You're at that point, right? So, not everybody is born with a silver spoon in their mouth. What jobs do you recommend that a person get to supplement their income while pursuing a career as a musical artist? I mean, other than the typical bartender, waitress, anything unique that you've heard about, or anything that really would help you with keeping to your rehearsal time and your songwriting, but yet you'll be able to buy a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and jelly once a week.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I've met so many different people from so many different walks of life that I would actually be a terrible person to answer that question, only because I've met people who have been lawyers, who have been doctors, or, you know, becoming lawyers or doctors, who have worked in finance, who have, you know, worked in, you know, government agencies, you know, you name it, and they pursue it on the side. I think that it's, you know, it's a matter
of... What about the poor person, you know? I mean, the person who doesn't have that much money and has to work a job, like is forced to work a job because they have to supplement their art.
I would say anything with a flexible schedule. And, of course, it would be best if you could do something that was, you know, related to your, you know, to your craft.
Exactly.
You know, what, you know, if you're, you know, a musician, you know, working in a concert hall, you know, maybe ushering or, you know, it's just, you know, an idea.
Mm, yeah, like a roadie. No, a roadie couldn't do it. You'd be really booked all the time. That's a tough one.
But doing something where you're, or something where you're surrounding, because, you know, networking is one of the most important parts of this business.
Right.
So something where you're going to, where you might, you know, put yourself in the same room as some of the people, you know.
Exactly. Like working at a record table. Woo! Or a recording studio or something like that. Now, when should you start looking for your team? Because everybody needs a team, you know, such as a manager, a PR rep, etc. When do you know you're ready, and who should be on your startup team?
This is actually a complicated question too, because honestly, I think that it all depends on, there's not really, I don't think, a time frame. It all depends on who you can trust. Because I've had managers before who I did not trust and who were not looking out for my best interest, and have, I'm sure you've probably heard plenty of horror stories, so I'm not even going to go into it, but, you know, I've met a lot of people that you just can't trust. So now, you know, I'm just working with my family and friends, who people that I've known for years, like, you know, Stephen Lucin, he's a, you know, PR expert. I'm working with him because I know him. I knew him before we started a working relationship. So I knew him as a person, so I trust him. And I with my family, with my brother, he's doing management for me, and his fiance. So they're doing that portion of it. So I trust these people, so I don't have to, you know, worry about anything. So I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily when, but...
Yeah, who? Yeah, and a lot of young people, they're just so excited. They're just so excited if somebody comes along and says, oh my God, I think you're so talented, and they're a slimy little manager or agent. They say, oh my God, I want to represent you. I can do this, that. You know, a person gets excited, and they might not be as smart as you, and they might be naive and gullible, and they might just let the person take them on and have them sign a contract. So how do they know?
Well, I want to say one thing that I think is really important. It's actually something that my mom would always say to me. She would always tell me that never pay for anything. A lot of people will come to you, these people who say they're this or say those or that, and they'll try to, you know, get money out of these poor kids. And my mom would always tell me, like, no, if they think that you're so great, then they should be the one paying for it. You know, you're a kid. They're the adult. They're the one offering you something. You know, if they think that you're that great, then they should pay for it, you know.
Exactly.
So that was one thing that I always dodged the bullet with, you know, which was good. So a lot of people think that, you know, oh, well, I can pay for this, and people will take money from you. They might not even think you're good, and they'll take money from you. So,
Oh, yeah, of course. Now, we've got 1 minute to go. I wanted to find out real quick, what is in store for you in the new year? What are you going to work on personally, musically? What do we have to look forward to this year from you, Nick?
I actually have a lot, which is great. I'm super excited about it. I have... Well, first of all, an album, music video for my single, reality TV show.
Get out of here! You didn't even tell me about the reality TV show. That would have taken up the whole hour. What are you talking? You're going to be on a reality television show?
I can't talk too much about it. It's just in the development stages right now. So
okay. Well, how are we going to know about it? Are we going
to
find out about it on your website?
Absolutely. You have to follow me there on my social media, which, by the way, I will also mention that just really quickly is that I will say that social media networking in general is the most important. Every single person that I've ever worked with professionally, whether it's a label, producer, manager, agent, whatever, I've actually gained or met through Facebook. That was the initial, you know, meeting point. So, I have to give it up for Facebook. You know, a lot of people can use that stuff for bad, like when it comes to bullying and all that stuff. But if you use social media in the right way, it can be very effective.
Absolutely. I mean, that is it now between Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. If you're not promoting yourself on these sites, then there's something wrong with you. You cannot make it in any business these days without the internet, and especially with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and God knows all the other social media sites. So promote. So you're going to be on a reality show, so we need to follow you. Let's talk about that one. Let's see what that is. Okay, so we'll go to your website, nickmodels.com. Then we can follow you on Facebook under The N1K Miles, and then we can follow you on Twitter at The Nick Miles, right? The Nick Miles,
yes, exactly.
At Twitter, and then you're on YouTube, The Nick Miles. So
exactly.
I just think if they type your damn name in Google, you're all over the place, so they'll find you. You got to follow him.
I hope so.
I hope you're. I typed you in and you were all over, so I think you're safe. So you're going to be on a reality show.
I have to be honest. I haven't Googled myself in a long time. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, you got to go Google yourself. Well, as long as you're Googling yourself and not doing anything else to yourself too much, it's all right. Now, what exactly? You got the reality show coming up. You got the new album and the video. So if we follow you, we're going to be able to find out when, because I got to see the video for this song. So you're going to be announcing it soon, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
There you go. There is the Nick Miles, the one, the only Nick Miles. And we are going to follow him in his career, and he's going to be so super successful. And you can say you heard him on the Question Reality radio show. So say goodbye to your fans, Nick.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please just follow me on all my social media, and I have a lot of exciting things coming this year, so look forward to sharing it with all of you.
Thank you for being on the show, Nick.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You're my little hottie. Come back when your next CD comes out. Email me, okay? And then we'll get you back on and
Absolutely.
Play your new song. Okay, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question of Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.